Good evening and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thanks for coming out. A special night. Normally, you know, I bet every other year, like last Sunday, I would have said, you have nowhere else to be but here. But since we're in the midst of COVID and everything else, obviously we're probably only a third of what normally we would be, but God is here by His Spirit, and we will have a wonderful time in His presence. So a happy Thanksgiving to all of you. So just a couple announcements. The offering this evening, if you haven't read, it is for the Moore Committee, Menno Olivet Resources for the Elderly. If you're given by check, you can just make it to the church, and then we send one offering to the Moore Committee. So thank you for helping with all that they do throughout the year. Also, the Christian Education Committee and others will be helping to put up the tree and the hanging of the greens after service tonight, because Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent already. Some years we get at least a Sunday break in there, which I always think is nice, but not this year. So it'll look a lot different on Sunday morning when you come. I was asked to announce that Reverend Leon Schultz did pass away. He has been in the care center. Now, I'm not sure if that was last night or this morning, but anyway, one of those two times. So be praying for Carolyn and the family. I'll say that Anne, my wife Anne, is doing better and is hoping to get to go back to work Saturday, I believe, at the care center. So she's not here tonight, and I'm not going into all the details of that again, but if you listen to Sunday morning service on the internet, you'll get the full report. And if you need a good chuckle, then you better listen to the announcements, right? If you haven't yet, you need to. But just saying that I'll, like I did Sunday morning, I stayed up here and I left out the door just as an extra precaution, so I will do that again this evening. Sorry, I'd love to greet everybody, but I'll tell you all happy Thanksgiving now from up here. Lastly, I'll make note that we are planning to have Christmas program practice this Sunday as scheduled. The kids, adults too, as far as that goes, can certainly wear masks. You know, we have a lot of kids, but that's totally the parents' choice on that. It's not required, it's your choice, so use your own discretion. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, we come with our hearts full of worship and praise on this night that we call Thanksgiving Eve. We have so many reasons to praise you, 10,000 reasons and forevermore, as the song says. And all the more as your word says that the earth bows down to you and they sing praise to you. Yes, they sing praise to your name. That you rule forever, Father, by your power, and your eyes watch the nations, for you are sovereign over all. And we rest in you, and we rest in knowing that you are all-powerful, you are everywhere present, you are all-knowing. And so we do thank you, Lord, on this Thanksgiving Eve, and as we come into Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, as we pray for our nation, as we have prayed for a year and more, asking you to pour out your Spirit upon this land, asking for repentance across this nation, asking for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit that could bring revival and turn this nation around and back to your word. We pray, Lord, for that always. And thank you by faith for what you are doing behind the scenes that we don't even know about. Lord, tonight I want to pray for all the healthcare workers as well, on the front lines of the battle, the difficulties they face and what they see, and Lord, as they are ministering to people in the hospitals and care centers and clinics where family cannot even be present, I ask for you to anoint them to do that. We pray for those that do have COVID, and we ask for healing throughout their beings, Father. Jesus, you declare in your word again and again that you are our healer, the great physician. And so we thank you for it. But Father, most of all, we are here to worship you, the Ancient of Days, to worship you, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we ask you to fill this sanctuary with your presence and your glory and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand. We'll sing our opening hymn, number 101, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. This comes from Psalm 100. While you're still standing, I have a responsive praise. It'll be on the screen. It is Psalm 100. So as soon as we get that on there, in a moment, we'll be ready to go. Sorry, Jamie. You got it or not right now? Okay. Why don't you give each other an air high five greeting, okay? Get to those around you. There we go. Okay, I guess we're ready now. Thank you. I'll read the letter L. You respond with the letter C. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
Be thankful to him and bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. You may be seated. So as you know, or most of you anyway, the offering box is in back there for whenever you're leaving, if you wanted to put something in. I'd like to read from Psalm 96, verses 8 and 9. It says this, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth." And I'd like to have a prayer first for the offering before we sing the doxology. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, as we give this evening, we give unto you. We give, Lord, for the work of the Moore Committee in our Menno and Olivet communities. Thank you for the blessing that they are to so many in various ways, but especially at this time of year, for families who need some extra help towards Christmas, for the help they give to the Bethany Food Pantry, which services families here in Menno. We ask, Lord, that you would take these gifts and bless them and multiply them, that as people receive these gift certificates, they see it as coming from you, the love of God reaching out in their lives. So thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd stand, please, we'll sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures hear me.
Father, as we stand here again with our praises to you and our hearts wide open, we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please. For the Kingdom Kids, Joni's going to step in tonight for Anne, so thank you.
I'm trying really hard not to say good morning. This is just a little bit difficult for me. But you guys look great. I'm glad to see you all here. Okay, so when is Thanksgiving? Does anybody know? Is it really tomorrow? Oh my goodness, my turkey's still in the freezer. This is not cool. Is that not good? No, my turkey's in the fridge. It's fine. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Are you sure? Okay. Well, I brought a calendar, and I've circled a day that I think is Thanksgiving Day. Do you think I got it right?
No.
What?
We're not in March.
Are you?
It's not 2021.
Oh, okay. Doggone it, I'm wrong again. Well, I'll show you another day that I think is a Thanksgiving Day. How about that one? What? Are you sure?
Yes.
Are your glasses clean?
It hasn't been New Year's yet.
Huh?
It hasn't been New
Year's. No, I know. You have to ignore the 2021. I couldn't find a 2020 calendar. Okay. So, what month is Thanksgiving in, Trent?
November.
Let me see. Do I have one of those in my calendar? Let's see. Oh, look at there. There it is.
No.
I give up. I'm wrong again?
It's right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not? Oh, well, let's talk about that just a little bit, okay? It looks like my calendar finally got it right. But I have every single day in November circled, even though we usually celebrate Thanksgiving on just one day a year. On the fourth Thursday of November, we should really have Thanksgiving every day of the year. And I'll tell you why, okay? I'm going to open my Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And this is what it says, okay, guys? It says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The Bible also tells us to sing with thanksgiving, to pray with thanksgiving, and even when you are asking God for something, to make those requests with thanksgiving. We really should be celebrating Thanksgiving every day, shouldn't we? Yeah. And I don't mean that we should have turkey and all the fixings with it and have all our relatives over all the time. Granted, this year will be a little different, but every day we have many things to be thankful for. Even on bad days, when nothing seems to be going right, you can always find something to be thankful for. And we have a lot to be thankful for this year, don't we? We should be thankful that we can sit here in this church and be together, because not everybody gets to do that right now. I'm thankful that we have our friends and our families that we get to see and hug and love every night. So we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we, guys? Okay, so we're going to close in prayer, all right? Dear Father God, we just thank you for bringing us all here this evening. We ask that you keep us safe and healthy. And we also lift up those that aren't so healthy right now, Father. We just thank you that you will help them. Make them better. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joni. We're going to sing number 170 and 171 in the hymnal. They go into from one to the other. The 170 you know, the 171 might be new to some of you, but we will sing these.
With a grateful heart, give thanks.
Let's bow our heads, please, once more. Father, we do come into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts, with joy in our voices, Lord, singing your praises as we give you glory and honor and power unto you, because Jesus, yours is the name above every name. And Father, we thank you for your word that is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and joint and marrow, between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thank you for your word that works effectively in each of our lives by the power of your Spirit. And let it be so this evening as well, as we open our hearts to you. And Father, I ask that you'd speak through me by the Holy Spirit of God to each one gathered in here this evening. And I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 12. 6 verses to this chapter. It's called A Song of Praise. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 12, just a little bit on the context, of the book of the prophet Isaiah. You see there's in your outline. So Isaiah prophesied from the year 739 to 681 BC, 58 years. He prophesied to a nation that had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. Sound familiar? Instead of serving him with humility and offering love to their neighbors, the nation of Judah offered meaningless sacrifices in God's temple at Jerusalem and committed injustices throughout their nation. The people of Judah turned their backs on God and alienated themselves from him, which created the need for Isaiah's pronouncements of judgment, declarations made in the hope that God's chosen people would return to him. Chapter 12, which is what we're going to focus on tonight, though this tells of the great rejoicing that's going to take place when that faithful remnant would return to Jerusalem. They were in captivity over in Babylon. Judah was. Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians. So on one sense, at the time, that's what this is speaking to. The rejoicing that's going to happen. For us today, it's speaking of us, to us as believers, getting set free by the Spirit of God from the tyranny of the devil, as the phrase in our first catechism question says. He has fully paid for all my sins and with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. That's something to rejoice about, isn't it? Yeah. So, in that day, that phrase, it's in verse 1 and verse 4, in that day, it is looking forward to a time of thanksgiving and praise. So in that day, we live in that day every day because we live after the cross. We live in the victory of it. So what are we rejoicing about? What are we giving thanks for every day, as Joni was trying to tell the kids there? First, letter A, we thank God for his mercies. Look at verse 1, the second part of it there. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. So let's go back to the time when this was written, first of all. We know we spent, I'd have to look back, 6, 7, 8 weeks on the first several chapters of Daniel this spring, March, April, part of May. And we saw, with Judah anyway, that when it was time for God's judgment, they had been warned and warned and warned. He used the nation of Babylon to come, conquer them, haul them back to Babylon, at least 700 miles over rough, rugged desert terrain, hard. It was a hard journey. You know, as exiles, they were not treated well through that trip. But there they went. See, God had been patient with Judah. So if we go to when the whole nation of Israel is a one, separated, remember it was the 10 tribes, they were the northern kingdom called Israel. It was the 2 southern tribes, they were called Judah. Israel, the 10 northern tribes, out of their 19 kings, from when that happened, I always have to think, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, now I'm drawing a blank. So don't quote me on this, you probably know. I think Jeroboam was northern kingdom. So anyway, they only lasted, before they got hauled off into captivity, they lasted 209 years. The northern kingdom, out of their 19 kings, there was not one in those 209 years that served the Lord. Not one. The southern kingdom, Judah, they lasted 326 years before they were carried off to Babylon. They had at least 8 of their 20 kings that were godly kings, and God used them and worked through them over the course of those 326 years to bring revivals to that nation. They did have periods of great revival, and then they'd get off the track again. Then they'd have revival. Where are we at today? We need the revival. Desperately, we do. And we pray for that, as I did before. So anyway, they were hauled off there because of their disobedience. Let's bring it up to today, though, that verse. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. That for us is a foreshadow talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because Jesus, we know, he put himself between us and the wrath of God, didn't he? Where did he do it? Hanging on the cross. He put himself between us and the wrath of God. He on the cross. Praise the Lord, right? Although you, God, you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. What a blessing. We know in 2 Corinthians, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Right? I say that verse often. It's such an important verse. He comforted us by saving us. The anger was turned. So we thank God for his mercies, right? What is mercy? It's when God does not give us what we do deserve. Letter B, we thank God for his salvation every day. Back to his mercies. I've said this to you before. I love the mornings. For me, it's the best time of the day. I love the evenings when we get to have church too. And basketball games, and whatever. But the mornings, because Lamentation says his mercies are new every morning. And no matter how rough the day before was, tomorrow morning is a new day, right? And we start on again. So we thank God for his salvation. Surely, verse 2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, right? Even in these difficult days and the craziness of where we're living right now, we trust and we keep our eyes fixed upon our God and our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. God is my salvation. I am not my salvation. You are not your salvation, and we should all know that very well, right? It's not by my good works. It's not by my good intentions. It's all about Him and what He has done for us through the cross in Christ alone, as we say it. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. When we think about Him being our strength and our song, He is the source of our strength. The very source of our strength. Last Sunday before, we were there in the armor of God, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, or in His mighty power, NIV says. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Strong, remember? That in the Greek is a power that is not our own. It's not our own. I've had, the last couple weeks, I have had to be all the more earnest and diligent, and which is a good thing, to say, Lord, I am drawing on Your strength right now. I need You to infuse me with the power of the Holy Spirit to get through this, to get through that, whatever the situation. I'm not going into those details. Be strong in Him. Right? He's saying, the Lord is my strength and my song. And in His mighty, remember that was His omnipotent, in His mighty power. Power is in an endued power. We talked about that, like an endowment. An endowment is set up so that it never runs out. And God's power never does. C, letter C. We thank God for His joy. For His joy. Verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let's say that phrase all together, please. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Again, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Yeah, the wells. So I read someone that said, a commentary that said on that verse, and I'm going to draw this out because I never even thought of it in this way, but they said some groups will use that because wells is a plural word. They'll take that one verse way out of context. Well, see, it says wells of salvation. So that means there are different ways to get to the Father other than through Christ alone. That is the furthest thing from the truth. I don't know if you ever heard that. I never had until I read that. I'm like, seriously? Well, people can twist things all around any which way to try and get what they want to get. But we know right here, don't we? There is one way to the Father, period. God said it. So the wells of salvation, well, that as we walk through life, it's where we draw near to God. We are saved, and then as we walk through life, we draw near to Him and we drink from Him, the fountain of living water. We have to do that, don't we? Spiritually, we have got to draw from the wells of salvation. We do it every time we come together in church. You are drawing from the well. Every time you're reading the scriptures at home and praying, you're drawing from the well wherever you are. When the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt across the Red Sea into the wilderness, what was the first thing they ran into? One of the first things, no water. No water. You brought us out here to die. I know, there weren't enough graves in Egypt, isn't that right? That's why we're out here. Grumble, grumble, grumble. No, they had to, God provided supernaturally for them, we know, all the way through. But they had to have wells of water naturally across that journey of those 40 years. And we got to be drinking from the wells of salvation, or what happens? We dry up, don't we? We dry up and we fall out of love with God. As Revelation said to the one church, you have lost your first love. Got to be refreshed. It's no different than I see, you know, in the fall sometimes, especially this year as everything dried up after all the wet years we had, and you put the cattle out in the corn stalks, and maybe, and especially last year, maybe the year before, there were water holes and such for the cattle to have water. This year, I saw more than once where there were the big cattle waterers, water tanks. In the field, and I'd see a tractor coming in, and they'd have the big barrel, and they'd fill that up, and I don't know, I imagine an everyday process, probably, because those cattle have to drink, don't they? Otherwise, they're going to dry up and die. And same with us. With joy, we draw water from the wells of salvation. Especially in the difficult places, in the difficult times, we draw, and the Holy Spirit comes bubbling up within. The closing hymn, we're not ready to sing it yet, I'm just going to tell you about this closing hymn, because I think it's so amazing when this was written. The hymn is "Now Thank We All Our God." It was written in 1636. It's a long time ago, isn't it? But I looked up some stuff on this. It was written by this Lutheran pastor in Eilenburg, Germany. And this was in the middle of the 30 Years' War. Now, if you don't know your history on that, then Google it. It's, wow, what a sad time that was. It was from 1618 to 1648, and this hymn was written in 1636, when Europe was just ravaged with this 30 Years' War, especially Germany, just utterly destroyed from the war, famine, disease. It said nearly 8 million people lost their lives in that time. 8 million. And this pastor, Martin Rinkert, is his name. When he wrote this, he had to be drawing, boy, from the wells of salvation. To endure what he did, it got so bad in his city, Eilenburg, where his church was, said most of the pastors in that city died. It was the Swedish army that had surrounded it. Refugees were pouring into this city for refuge. Swedish army surrounded it. In 1637, a plague called typhus came to that city, claimed 8,000 people in that city. Much of the town council, most of the ministers, large numbers of children, and including then this Martin Rankert's own wife. It says, in the worst of that time, this minister, was burying 40 to 50 people a day. A day. I can't imagine. I think the most I've had is 3 with funerals within 6 days and a Sunday in between. And that was like, oh, at that point. After that plague came the famine. It said that you could see people in the streets fighting over a dead cat or a crow to eat. And in the midst of that, he was inspired to write this hymn that we'll sing coming up here. Incredible. I think of our healthcare workers. We have several in the church. You know, it probably has really hit home to me with Ann working at our care center and getting to know pretty much firsthand. Well, so she can't tell me all, and she shouldn't, but it's like, wow. And you know it, you nurses. Some of you are here tonight. You're facing that every single day. And we pray for you, and God bless you. God bless you. Draw from the well of salvation every day. Refresh yourself. With joy we do that, and it brings joy to us. Letter D, thank God for the glorious things he has done and is doing. This is verses 4 through 6. I want us to read these verses together there, please. We'll start with that, in that day, and then we'll go on to the next slide. All right, you ready? Okay. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Amen. I love those verses. This was written to them, prophesied to them while they were still in captivity, in bondage over there in Babylon for those 70 years. In that day, and they didn't have to wait till that day. They had trials, great trials over there. They had great blessings too, but trials of their faith. Daniel in the lion's den, he didn't know what the outcome of that deal was going to be. We do, because we look back at it. Three Hebrew children, fiery furnace. They didn't know what that outcome was going to be. Our God will deliver us, O King, and we will not bow down, even if he doesn't, meaning out of the fire, right? We will not bow down. And there was Jesus, the fourth man in that fire with them. He's with us. He is always with us. So, just verses of praise in the midst of the difficult times. We make known among the nations what God has done. And whatever our sphere of influence is, we make known what God has done, what he is doing in the midst of the difficult times we are facing. We make known the goodness of God, and we see it all around us because we preach Jesus, right? It's what we do. In John's gospel, there's the seven I am statements that he makes there. I am the resurrection and the life. It's what we proclaim. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the door or the gate, depending which translation you use. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We make known among the nations what he has done in our midst. The second verse of that hymn says this. Remember the midst of the horrors that they were facing. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed. You know what perplexed means? Filled with uncertainty, difficulty, bewilderment. Guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. We have much to be thankful for in the midst of this. The harvest. We weren't slopping through mud the whole time, pulling each other out from getting stuck and all of that, right? It was like, a lot of you have said, it was so refreshing to have maybe what we'd call a normal harvest in the midst of a very abnormal year, otherwise with the pandemic. We thank God, as I said before, for our healthcare workers. We thank God, as Joni said, to be able to worship in person. I'm so thankful for that. And you could all, we all have many, many, many more things to sing to our praises to him about. So shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. At the time, that was Israel, Zion being Jerusalem. Today, it's the church. For great is the Holy One of Israel, Jesus, among you. And he is. Oh, when we have to get our eyes fixed on him. Oh, so often I have to say it, get my thoughts, no, get back on Jesus, back on Jesus, back on Jesus. And what does that song say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night of Thanksgiving Eve. It just is right and proper to be able to have a worship service at this time, to pause, to gather, to give thanks to you. Lord, I pray for there's many, many of our older ones with compromised health situations who would long to be here. I pray for them. And as they watch and listen to the service later this week, that you just refresh them as well in their homes, wherever it might be. But we give thanks to you, Father, Almighty God. You are wonderful. Bless each one here this evening, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so let's stand and we'll sing that closing hymn. Now thank we all our God. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And we will again tonight sing God Bless America as our prayer for our nation. Once we get in Advent season, we won't do that, but we are going to tonight. Mm-hmm. be seated. Thank you, Marina, for the beautiful music tonight. And as I said, a happy Thanksgiving. Sorry I can't greet you Sunday. Hopefully I will. I missed that. Jennifer, would you get my microphone off? I'll just lay it here too, please. Okay? Thanks to all who are going to help with the tree and decorations. Thanks, Ben.